You're listening to the Real Estate Runway podcast, powered by Quattro Capital, where we are all about alternative business and investment strategies to help you amplify life and maximize wealth. Here's your host, the recovering engineer turned multifamily investor, Chad Sutton.
All right, everyone. Today, we're going to talk with Andy Gerchak of All City Adjusting. This guy is a public adjuster. Why do you need a public adjuster? We're going to get into it and find out. Insurance is not a world you want to play with. You want to make sure you have experts on your team. This is another member of your real estate team. But if you get any value out of the show, please remember to scroll down and leave us a five-star review and a comment. It really helps us grow the show. Really appreciate you for that. You can follow us on our parent company, Quattro Capital, at Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at Team Quattro Capital. One word, no special characters, or by simply visiting us at thequattroway.com. We appreciate all of you. Love to hear from you. Drop us a note at podcast@thequattroway.com if you want to give us some content requests or feedback. Love to say hello. And don't forget, if you get any value out of the show, edit that last part out. Sorry, guys. And if you'd like to apply to be on the show, please visit us at thequattroway.com/podcast. And now, on to your scheduled production. All right, all right, all right, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Runway Podcast. I'm your host, Chad Sutton, and I'm joined today with Andy Gerchak of All City Adjusting. Andy, welcome to the show. So glad to have you on. How are you doing today, brother?
Chad, thank you so much for having me. I'm doing great. I love your background. Ties in with the Nashville, the greenery over there, so.
You know, we're giggling about this a little bit because y'all just missed about 16 minutes of tech difficulties getting our backgrounds and all that. We have to look good for you guys. It's important, you guys and gals out there. So anyway, leading into it, Andy, you know, tell us here at the Real Estate Runway, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and what the hell got you into public adjusting. I don't think anyone wakes up one day and says, wow, I want to be an adjuster, you know, until you figure out what it really entails. So let's walk that story a little bit.
Sounds good. I had no clue what a public adjuster was. So that let's just start with that. I was doing construction, moved on to different trades. Finally, I was in fire restoration working for a gentleman that he would do work and the PA would actually send them referrals and stuff. I met that PA and I was like, well, I like this fire restoration, but I really like this, what he's doing. What's he doing that's getting this work and stuff? So I started asking him and I ended up getting his number. Called him for a couple of years. Finally, he's like, hey, you know, I'm about to retire. You know, you're persistent. I'll mentor you. We'll make a deal. So I was with him for about 3 years and he taught me the business. He was in it for 40 years. So I got 40 years of knowledge that there's not even a book about firsthand. So that's how kind of I got into it and then just fell in love with and negotiated just everything that goes on with helping people and then getting claims paid.
Yeah, that's incredible. And, you know, I think you echoed success leaves clues, right? If you're going to try to learn something new, finding someone who knows how to walk the walk, talk the talk, someone who has the experience. So super commendable for that, man. Well done.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That took a long time. Almost gave up. So on the last call, he answered. So
Fair enough. It's always that last, man, there's another lesson. It's always the last call, right? If you make one more call, I mean, I think Ed Milet has this in his book, y'all, the power of one more, always one more rep, one more this, one more that. You never know which one's going to hit, right?
Hey, I remember sitting in my bedroom going, okay, I was already moving on and starting another business. I was getting into wholesaling and some real estate. And I said, here, I'm calling him. If he doesn't answer, I'm deleting the number and I'm done. I mean, it's been 3 years. This is just insane. He answered. And from there on, it's history. But yeah.
Wow. So that was the last persistence. Call. 3 years. Yeah. That's incredible, dude. That's incredible.
Yeah, met him a bunch of times, just kept calling and just, he wouldn't answer, but he never blocked me. So, I mean, that was good. Maybe he didn't know how to, but at least he didn't block me. So,
we'll go with that. Or he finally gave in and said, all right, you're persistent. I'll talk to you. Well, let's do this. So, you know, before about 3 years ago, I didn't know what the heck a public adjuster was either until I needed one. So, let's kind of talk through the power. And before we even get to the power of having a good one, what is it? What does it do? Why do I care as a real estate investor about public adjusting?
Public adjuster is someone that's licensed by the state in a state that they work in to represent the insured on their own claim on first party claims. So if you have a claim, you can look at it that way. You have a claim, you have the insurance adjuster that's working for the insurance company, their vendors, their contractors, the agent, everyone that's working for the insurance company. Then there's you thinking they're all going to come here to help me. That's not the case, right? They're all getting paid by the insurance company. So it's conflict of interest for them technically to represent you or help you. Right. They're going to get paid. They're going to get their bonuses from there. So you having someone on your side to take the claim from A to Z and then maximize your payment and take the stress out, that's where TA does.
I love that. And you know, I guess let's take it from there and go, why do I need a PA, right? I mean, aren't the insurance companies, don't they all have my good interests at heart and they're wanting to make sure I get paid the maximum amount on a claim, right?
Yeah, I just did a previous podcast that the host actually does all these investments. He's like, all my stocks are losing, but the one sector that's performing and that's doing good is insurance companies. How is that when claims are getting underpaid and people aren't getting paid and claims are getting denied, but they're making more money? They make money when claims are underpaid. It's not that they're collecting more in premiums. Come on, premiums haven't gone up that much. You know, they go up every year, but it's not significant in order for them to go from millions to, you know, billion-dollar profits.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And I love that you described it in that context as an investment. Folks, insurance companies, yeah, they're a good thing, right? They provide a service that is necessary for loss of collateral or loss of a big asset you simply can't afford to repair. Think $2 million of roof damage after a hurricane on your apartment building, right? But let's remember, all people who get money get it from somewhere. And those, yes, premiums go in to pay for a lot of that bucket of money they hold. But the way an insurance company works, it's also an investment, right? And that investment has to be profitable for those who are investing in it. And therefore, you know, if they go gangbusters and pay every claim, you know, as at the maximum and not try to negotiate a little bit, the investment would fail. So you got to remember, it's not a charity service. It is an investment. And that is a business to make money, right? So that's, I guess, first and foremost, a point that I would make from experience is that, you know, it is an investment, not a charity service. So, you know, I guess let me let you comment on that before I go forward.
Thanks for giving me. Yeah. The burden of proof is on the insured. So they're going to send out whoever renders, whatever. It's not their responsibility to prove the loss. It's your responsibility to show them the loss, the damage, the scope. Well, how is a regular investor landlord going to know that? And contractors don't negotiate claims. They don't read policies. You have to have someone on your side. And again, there's no need, you know, an attorney is kind of when it's got to go legal. So that's where PAs come in, or they're able to take that claim and maximize the settlements for the insureds.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, let's kind of play out a real scenario here, Andy. So, okay, yeah. I'm an owner and, you know, we could be talking in context of a single family rental or your personal home. Or, you know, the world that I play in is, you know, medium to large commercial assets. Let's say I own a 200 unit building and I've had a storm come through and, you know, a tree went through one of the buildings and a bunch of windows are broken and stuff like that. The first thing I do is file a claim, right? Well, how do you step in and really provide a service to help the landlord, owner, investor, you know, walk through this process? And hell, what's the process entail, brother? I mean, it's a pretty complex one.
Yeah. And so if you're a client that's been with us for a while, you're going to call us first before you even call the insurance company, right? We're going to go inspect the loss, what has to be mitigated. So if a tree fell, we're going to say, hey, we got to get someone to tarp this roof. We got to get someone to tarp these windows so no further damage happens, right? Because that's in your policy. So that's step one. Second step, we file the claim. Then we go, we scope the entire loss, present it to the insurance company because we're going to present them everything. We're going to present them what's damaged, the extent of damages, everything supporting building codes, anything else that we need to get the max payout, right? If in the case of where it's rentals, you're going to have tenants, same thing. Maybe you're going to have to relocate tenants. You know, your insurance doesn't pay for that. So while you're dealing with your tenants and dealing with that entire scenario, we're handling the entire insurance claim process, right? By us handling it from the start, that claims process, instead of 3-4 months, maybe will take 3 weeks to 4 weeks. But we're handling it from the start, so we're an attack. We're not kind of defending and trying to play from behind. We're the ones leading the way. And that's how a claim is supposed to go. You have to remember that the adjusters from the insurance companies that come out, either they're just fresh out of college or a senior adjuster, that's rare to get a senior one, but he's going to have 10 claims a day. Do you really think he has time to, you know, work on your claim and to get a claim paid in full and write a full estimate? No, they're overworked. They don't have that time. Or they're going to send the vendor out that's going to want to sign a contract with you before they do any work. And then if you don't sign a contract with them doing the repairs, they're going to be like, he's not going to sign with us. So we'll just put a quick estimate and leave. So that's one scenario if you called us from the beginning. Now, when we get called in and let's say you filed the claim, adjuster came, you get an estimate, you're like, you know, something's going on here. doesn't, you know, I got bids that are twice the amount, right? Then you call. So now we're going kind of from the back, same thing. Now we have to do some investigation. So that process of settling the claim is going to take a little bit longer.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I think what most people don't realize is, you know, if you actually contact the insurance company first and go without an adjuster, and your experience has probably been, you know, they come out, have their adjuster look at the property, and then some weeks later or that same day, possibly, you come back with a report that says, hey, here's what needs to be fixed. They go off and you come back with a number. Well, that number is not the end all be all. That number is the start of the negotiation, right? Now, the challenge is these insurance companies are so well capitalized. They're going to have all the resources at their disposal, all the attorneys, all the wind and hail, you know, mediology from, you know, what may or may not have transpired, and the ability to really just layer you with data and make sure that, you know, well, first you have to prove the storm actually happened or the event actually happened. And then you have to kind of prove what your property was, what it is now, and what it's going to cost to fix it. Right. So just curious, you know, from your perspective, what are some ways that, you know, having a public adjuster hired for you, you know, when you kind of take the ball and roll with it, what are some ways that you kind of add value to, you know, help with that onus of proof and really position the investor for success, right? I mean, when you're going up against a behemoth like an insurance company.
Being in the industry, being in construction, and let's start with, I own my rentals as well, and I've had claims on my rentals. Those claims have gone like back and forth. There was so much work. Right? Think about it, if I didn't have experience or didn't own this company and be in this industry, I don't even know how I would handle those claims as a landlord in those two situations I had. And I walked away very good, but it took months to get to where it needed to be. With me leading the way, that tells you a lot. What happens with claims and providing, when we get a client to call us, let's say their first time calling us, or they had a claim denied or something, or they just got a low ball. What we'll do is we'll actually investigate, right? Because we won't take a claim unless we can bring value. If you got 100,000 on your claim and I, you know, and you're like, something doesn't seem right. And I look at it, I'm like, well, there's another 200,000 missing, you know, then we would go and work with you because we could bring some value to you and show you that, hey, we're going to have a lifetime relationship. But we do have, we've built relationships with clients, investors that called us and said, hey, we got this offer. We look at the photos. Maybe it's a small loss. You got 20,000. You know what? It's actually a pretty good estimate. There's a couple things you're missing. We can help you out here and there, but there's no need to involve a PA on the small claims, for example. So a good PA will look through the claim and advise you before they, you know, that they can bring some value and help you out.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So is there anything preemptively, you know, as a property owner that I should be doing? So that, I mean, it's not, especially the more property you own, it's not if you're going to have a loss, it's when, right? It's when and how big. And so, you know, what should we as good property owners be doing to help prepare for the inevitable event that we do have a loss to better position us with the insurance companies going forward?
So my advice for any real estate investor is to have a PA on their team, right? Because it's going to do you just like you have an attorney and you have a real estate agent and everyone and your lender, just like we have everyone on our team. Having a PA, a public adjuster on your team is just inevitable, because you could send them, like for our clients, they'll send us, if they purchase more investments, they send us their policies. We'll look through them and see if there's any exposed liabilities, if they should get extra coverages, all those little things help. Because then when a loss happens, they're like, wow, we were covered for this, right? And what happens to a lot of investors, actually, first time, they're trying to crunch the numbers. So, and for example, they'll want to save on their premium, right? If their premium's 5,000, for a year, they'll say to their agent, well, let's, you know, can we do something with this premium? Oh yeah, no problem. Here, I crunched a couple numbers. I got you to 3,000. Well, how do you get you to 3? He had to take away coverage. Premium doesn't go down unless they actually take away coverage or they raise your deductible. So I would recommend for an investor to maybe raise your deductible to, you know, 3, 4, 5,000 and put away money on the side for that deductible, a reserve, but don't jeopardize your coverage, right? Make sure you have coverage for every instance. And get it in writing when you're talking to your agent, because if agent told you had coverage and then you're not covered for it, they do have error and omission policy. So make sure you get everything in writing, what you're actually getting and what you're not getting. But having a PA is would solve all of that.
Yeah, that's super important, because I mean, once the thing is set in stone, you get the opportunity to amend it, but only if you actually go change the policy and get into writing again. So coverage doesn't just materialize. And if you don't understand what's on those documents, you could be in for a world of hurt when something actually goes wrong. And I'm not saying if, I'm saying when something actually goes wrong, if you're a habitual property owner. So yeah, that's fantastic. And, you know, I guess, all right, edit that out, guys. I had to sneeze.
Bless you. Did you sneeze? Was that your sneeze?
I did. I came off mute to do it, but yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, that makes sense.
Let me get back into it. Ready? All right, Andy. So, you know, as parting thoughts, what else, are there any other little nuggets that we might need to know other than have a good PA on your team? Because it's not if, it's when, but you know, anything else we can do preemptively other than getting the docs right, making sure we know what's on the policy and we have it in writing, you know, anything we should be thinking about from a policy perspective or from, you know, do we need to be documenting what our properties look like in some way, shape or form to be able to prove it? Like, I'm just curious when you say the onus of proof is on the owner, you know, how far do we need to take that?
You just want to be kind of aware of what's going on at your properties, right? Repairs being done and who's maintaining them. Because when a loss happens, you know, they can investigate, they can ask for any documents that have been done at the property. If you have let's say you just purchased a property today, 3 months later, 4 months later, sorry, you have a fire. You have a fire, the whole property burns down. You're not covered, right? Why not? I had a policy, it covered me for fire. Well, there's a vacant clause, vacancy. If it's been vacant for 60 or more days, you're not covered, right? That's a big thing a lot of people don't know. But there's that clause also says, unless you are doing construction or rebuilding, or you are doing any kind of improvements. So if you are keeping up and you have contractors in there, then technically now it's a covered loss. So we've had losses denied and then overturned because technically there was people working at the property and doing repairs. So something like that, just keeping up and knowing what's going on with your properties. Because a lot of people just hand it over the management companies and then forget what's going on.
That's a good point. And make sure that management company or whoever you have, you know, managing your construction, make sure you're documenting stuff. Make sure you know what's going on. Keep records. Just keep your stuff together. I mean, I guess that's really what it comes down to. It's another benefit of being organized, right?
Correct. Good and then deal, when you have a deal. Claim, because you're right. It's only a matter of time. When you do have a claim, get help right away. Don't wait. A lot of people are like, oh, well, I have to, you know, if you want to ask what a PA charges, for example, we didn't touch this space. You know, they usually ranges from 10 to 20, 25%, depending on the claim, depending on when the PA comes in. For example, all our clients, it's usually just like 10% fee on what we recover. And, you know, a lot of people look at, well, I got to pay 10% of my claim. Granted, you're going to have so much more in value that you're probably making 130-300% on that investment, on that 10%. People are get hung up sometimes on fees for attorneys, for fees for all this professional help, but they don't understand how much more they're gaining from it, right? Until it's too late sometimes. But that's
right. And especially if you think about, well, if they started with a $500,000 claim and the public adjuster got you to an $800,000 payout, I'd say 25% of that's worth it because you're still getting more in the end than you would have gotten in the first place, you know?
I had a lady, we had a client, she had about $5,000 from the insurance company, probably about $500,000 claim. And I said, well, okay, well, I think our fee was 20 or 25. And she's like, well, what if you get it settled? And then, you know, after your fee, we're not going to have enough to do the repairs. I'm like, well, if I get you $10,000 more, it's still more than what you had today. So, right. Do you have enough to hire a contractor today? I mean, you know, people get hung up on these silly fees. Like, hey, a PA, a company has to make, they have overhead, they have to make money. But if a good PA is going to, is his way, it's worth gold.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. All right. Well, we got to go to the Quattro questions here for a few minutes. What do you think? You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. First question, Andy, what is your superpower in this industry and how does it benefit you?
Persistence, definitely. I'm just so persistent. I won't.
I think we heard that in the story earlier, didn't we?
I won't give up for our clients. No, we'll keep fighting till we've exhausted every option. I mean, we don't just take a claim and something goes wrong and say, hey, you need an attorney or, you know, we exhaust every option. We're definitely persistent.
Even if it takes 3 years, huh?
I don't give a listen. We're going to get you paid. that's just my motto here.
That's good. All right, let's go the other direction. So what's your biggest failure to date and what did you learn from it? Could be life or business, dealer's choice.
You know what? Trying to grow too big in the beginning, I think when I started, that was my biggest failure. Didn't understand kind of the concept of business and everything that goes into it and just kind of started growing too big and then had to reset. That was something I look back, but at the same time, it was a big, it was a good learning lesson. So,
yeah, that's very smart. I mean, you know, we all think growing and getting bigger will solve all of our problems. All it does is make sure you have bigger problems. Hold on, I'm going to re-record that because my damn computer went off. Yeah, that makes sense because, you know, a lot of us think that getting bigger and getting more revenue will solve all of our problems. But in reality, it just gives us bigger problems. You know, you have to build the company around it in the proper way. So I love that.
I mean, that goes into, and for your listeners, to, for real estate, right? Everyone thinks, so I'm going to get this 100 unit or this, everything's going to go away or it's going to be so easy. No, you know, you got to start somewhere. A single thing, you got to start somewhere. So you learn the basics of property and how to, like a lot of people want to buy a property, give it to a management company. I feel personally, you should have some common sense and no knowledge of how to repair stuff or how stuff goes and how contractors work. So you can kind of know what's going on. Cause that happened to me where people were doing stuff and I didn't know anything about it. And then I'm like, whoa, they're screwing it up. And I didn't even know. So
yeah, you got to speak the language, brother. You got to speak the language. All right. Well, I want to give you an opportunity and actually pause for just a second. I thought you had an ebook. I just wanted to make sure. I'm here.
I went on mute. I lost you there. Before I said that. There you go.
Oh, I'm back. I went on mute for a second. So, okay, let me get back into it. 5, 4, 3, 2. All right, question number 3. So we have an opportunity to talk about the ebook that you've put together. You mind sharing that with the listeners and where they can find it?
Yeah, if you go on our website, go on allcityadjusting.com, go on free claim review right there on the bottom right, you'll see. It's a free ebook and it's kind of how to handle your own claim, right? It gives you the basics of how to handle the structure, the contents, the additional living. And it's really good insight. There's actually a lot of good stuff in there that can take you through a claim if you actually wanted to handle a claim by yourself. And it's got our information. So if you actually can't, you know, if you need help, our information's on the bottom. But yeah, that's, and that's where every listener, they can go on our website, put in their email and it gets shipped to them right away.
That's fantastic. That's such a value creator. So thank you for providing that. And question number 4, brother, we at Quattro have 4 pillars and philanthropy is one of the most important ones that we have, taking care of people. So what would I love to do is let our guests come on and kind of talk about whatever philanthropic ventures are on your heart. And, you know, a lot of times people will donate on your behalf to those causes. So, you know, what might that be for you, Andy?
So I was in a Big Brother program, which I did, which was an awesome experience. Once I had my own kids, it kind of, that took up too much time. So I had to abandon it. And this year we're looking into orphanages in Mexico is really what I want to focus on, an orphanage or two where we could kind of help with clothes and whatever we can help with. That's kind of what we're going to be focusing on this year.
I love that. I love that. Well, before we get out of the episode here, do you mind sharing how our listeners can get in touch with you? Should they want to either, you know, come alongside you with that philanthropic venture or solicit your services as a PA?
For sure. Anyone, you know, all your listeners can now give them my cell phone. They could call me. My direct line is 708-655-4186. For any listener, they can call me directly. They can text me with questions. I'm available. I make myself available to people all the time. They can email me at andy@allcityadjusting.com, whichever is easier, but I'm pretty open to helping people even with questions regarding policies or anything.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And everyone, just as always, scroll down on whatever medium you're listening to this episode in. His cell phone number and any links we provided will be right there for your convenience. So no worries there. Well, Andy, thank you so much for coming on the show, brother. I really enjoyed this conversation. Always love talking about insurance, right? And appreciate the value you brought to the listeners. So yeah, I really appreciate you. Thanks for that.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure. And it's good to talk to someone that's actually been through the claim process. So
absolutely. Absolutely. All right, everyone. Well, this has been another episode of the Real Estate Runway Podcast. Stay tuned for some outro verbiage. All right, everyone. That was an action-packed episode. Really enjoyed talking about why we need a public adjuster, why you need this person on your team. So anyway, if you got any value out of that episode, I'd really appreciate a comment on the show down below. 5 stars and a thoughtful comment really helps us get this message out to other people. Thank you so much in advance for doing that. And folks, it's been a pleasure today. Until next time, this has been another episode of the Real Estate Runway Podcast. Over and out.
We hope this episode was insightful and brought value to your day. If so, please be awesome and leave us a 5-star review. Find out how Team Quattro can help you at thequattroway.com. Until next time, this is the Real Estate Runway Podcast.